Welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. Yesterday it was Bob Arthurs. Tomorrow it will be Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street, two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, right in the heart of the Merritt Park Place development area there. We would love to have you come and visit us. We have services Sunday mornings at 10:30 and worship service at 6:30. This week, however, is our annual chili cook-off at the after the morning service. So we do not have a Sunday night service, but if you'd like to come and participate, it is not a rigged thing. Everybody gets a vote. And so it's a blind taste test. So everything is served in the same containers, everything looks absolutely identical, except for things don't always taste exactly identical. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, it is a friendly competition, but I do like to win. So it's a friendly competition. There's a prize that we give away, but it is also not just a chili cook-off. It is a potluck dinner as well, where some of my favorite meals that I partake of, favorite dishes that I eat, I first learned of them at Merritt Assembly of God potluck dinners. And so we're looking forward. This week will be the first time that we have tried our new setup. We're constantly exploring new setups to make it more comfortable for people. And, we're looking forward to seeing how this one will go this week. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. We would love to have you join us for, prayer and praise and worship and the preaching of the Word of God and the fellowship with the saints. So, today we are going to be moving on to the book of James. Now, I did read an article recently. I want to go back and touch just a little bit on what we'd been talking about. We'd been in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'd been talking about the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, and that his goal is to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So as I was teaching that, I ran across another article, and it talked about a specific government style that particular style of government, not here in America, but that its goal was to be God, to take out everything that is known as God and replace it with on that particular government. And I want you to know that God's throne is an exclusive seat. And anytime someone tries to elevate themselves to God's position, God's going to oppose that situation, and the humiliation process is very extensive. And so I want you to know, we are living in the days of lawlessness. We are living in the days when people are trying to exalt themselves and present themselves as God, but it's never going to work. It is deception, and we cannot afford to deceive ourselves. So today I want to take you to the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 12. We're going to read down to verse number 21, and going to be talking about this tendency that we have, or the possibility that we have, of deceiving ourselves. We cannot afford to do that. Tell you, the easiest person to lie to is yourself. And so there's constantly warnings in the Bible. Don't be deceived. Do not deceive yourselves. And so we're going to be looking at this today. Verse number 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So it talks here that when we have endured temptation, that we will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This portion of scripture that we're talking about today is dealing with the topic of don't be deceived concerning the provision of God. Okay? Don't be deceived concerning the provision of God. You see, according to our flesh, God is always late, and whatever he provides is never good enough. It is never sufficient for the task. And we're gonna walk through that process, because that's a lie from the enemy. It is designed to get us discontented with God, just the same way as the serpent beguiled Eve, deceived Eve, and convinced her, God's holding out on you because he just doesn't want to share the stage, if you will. He's holding out on you. You're the pinnacle of creation. He's given you all this authority. He's given you the privilege of walking in fellowship with him on a regular basis, but God is holding out. That's the lie that the enemy sells. And so it describes here that we are, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Remember, that's where we started here. Deliver us from the evil one, deliver us from evil. And you've got to realize that God is not in the evil merchandising business. He doesn't have any evil character that we do. God is perfectly holy. God is looking to set us up to succeed, not to get us set up to fail. But he does know what is in our hearts. And so he is going to provide everything that we need in its perfect time. It says here that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So we do have those desires. Paul said that he had learned the secret of being content in whatever situation he was in. And that's a very difficult thing for us to, but you know what I found? I found that it is very easy for kids to operate in that mindset. So my daughter and I were traveling. We were traveling to a conference here a week or so ago. And during that conversation, she made this statement. She said, Dad, I realize that not everybody operates their life in the same way that we operate ours. And we've had some discussions on that in the past. This was on a different subject matter. But kids all grow up in an environment, and they think whatever environment they're growing up in is perfectly normal. So you have kids literally, I'm not exaggerating, you have kids around the globe that are growing up in garbage dumps because they're in such strapped economic circumstances that they and their parents are scavenging through the dump looking for things to sell and looking for things to eat. That needs to change. But for a kid who grows up in that, that's normal. What we need to do is allow God to create in us a new normal, a new desire. And so when we have these desires, we think that every desire that we have must be something that is good because, after all, we're desiring it. But I want you to understand that that is not the reality. Not every desire is flowing from a position of spiritual benefit to us. Sometimes we have carnal desires. You know, you want to lay hands and pray for somebody, but not in a godly way. I'm speaking facetiously here, but you know, there are those desires. Well, I just want to tell that person off. They've got too much. I just want to go and take what they've got. They've got too many toys already. And so there's that temptation to displace God as our provider with provision that we have on our own. And so I think it is very important that we continue to allow God to not only provide our desires, but to provide the solutions that will satisfy those desires. And so if a desire is not of God, then that desire needs to be removed and a godly desire replace it. And I will tell you, see, when I read the book of Job, you know, everybody focuses on the miserable comforters. They were there to comfort, and they ended up confronting. That's a different mission altogether. And people look at suffering that Job went through, and going through suffering of any length of time, of any severity, is no fun whatsoever. Okay, everybody suffers, but not to the same extent that Job did. But there was something in the heart of Job that God knew needed to be brought to the surface so that it could be dealt with. And that's what I get out of the book of Job, is that God knows, even if we're a righteous man and we've done a lot of really good things, God knows if there's something buried in our character, in our person, that needs to come to the surface, not because he's wanting to embarrass us or humiliate us, but because he's wanting to remove that. It needs to be extricated from our lives. And so you need to realize that if we decide to give in and be ruled by our desires instead of by the provision of God, that it's God's different outcome. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 15 says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The devil is constantly trying to replace godly desires with ungodly desires because he knows that it is going to result in painful separation, ultimately the separation of life from us. The devil is always about lying, stealing, killing, and destroying. So when you realize that, then James writes, don't be deceived. When you realize that the devil has nothing good to offer you, he says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So I was thinking about this morning, and I'll just pick something that is one of my favorite things to eat, and that is strawberry cake. That was my favorite fruit, and so when I was growing up, that was what my mother made for me on my birthday. Every year was a strawberry cake. And if I knew that there was strawberry cake, and listen, it is really, really good, and she made it very, very well. But if I came in and I said, look, I know that it is your desire to give me strawberry cake, and my birthday is still a few days away, but I want the cake right now. Well, the cake as it would exist in my household, even a day before my birthday, it would consist of raw eggs, raw flour, raw, you know, strawberries would be in there. It would consist of raw sugar, raw butter, raw milk. It wouldn't look like I have it pictured in my head. It would not be fit to eat. And so we need to realize that the gifts that God gives to us are going to come at the appropriate time when we are in the proper position spiritually to be able to receive, and the gifts that are given are going to be ready for us to implement and to use. On a very practical note, if my wife is cooking dinner and, you know, it's still 10 or 15 minutes away, and I've reached the limit of what my body is saying, you need food. When I go to start raiding the refrigerator while she's cooking dinner, she doesn't like that very much. So I really have tried to rein that back in, even though I get really hungry at times. It just happens whenever you have two people with very busy schedules. God gives first quality gifts, top quality gifts, and he gives them at the proper time when they are going to be a blessing and not a liability. If you receive something prematurely, it could have destructive consequences. And so we need to come to that place where we are waiting on God, because God's going to do something amazing with it. It says every good and every perfect gift. That means that the devil never has something better to offer you than what God has. That means that there's not a desire that you've got down inside there that is of an ungodly nature that is going to work out better for you in the end than what the desire that God plants inside of your heart. So we have to guard our hearts and guard our spirits. We've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be deceived by the glittering and by the shiny thing. I'm not going to be, deceived by the urgency of my craving versus the perfect timing of God. 450 years, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and Moses was born at just the right time. Jesus, it had been something like 450 years from Malachi to Matthew, and it says in Galatians 4:4 that Jesus was born in the fullness of time. God's timing and God's provision work together to provide everything that you and I have need of. So, say, I haven't received yet. I haven't received yet. So I don't want to just put you in a holding pattern. While my wife and I were flying back from my dad's surprise party. We were landing at our first stop. We had one stop before we got back to Orlando. The plane was descending, and right before we made impact with the runway, there was another plane on the runway, and so the pilot had to hit the thrusters, and we took off again and had to go into a holding pattern until it cleared for us to be able to land at the appropriate time. And so I'm not saying you just go into a holding pattern. What I'm encouraging us to do is we need to position ourselves and work on ourselves so that we are in a position to be able to handle more. How do you prepare yourself to be able to handle more of God's property with great stewardship? Well, you are faithful where you are. If you're faithful with one talent, pretty soon he's going to give you a second talent. And when you're faithful with two, he'll get to where you're faithful with five. And when you're faithful with five, he'll make you faithful of 10. And when he makes you faithful of 10, you know, it just keeps going on. Faithfulness is a prerequisite in the kingdom of God. If we will demonstrate faithfulness, the scripture says to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. So verse number 18, and by the way, it says God doesn't change. There's no variation, no shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I heard a singer one time say that in Christ we are new creations, a new species of being that has never existed before, not a different species because of the DNA sequencing or anything like that, but a new species because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords residing in us. So we are no longer, we might look the same that we used to look, but now we are a completely different being. We live for a different purpose. We live in a different dimension. We live for the glory of God. So then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear. I want you to understand this in the position of receiving. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he says, so then, my beloved brethren, that's the exact same word that he used in verse number 16, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let's continue to listen to what God has to say. As long as God is speaking, the enemy's lying voice is going to be muted. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to develop a daily relationship with God, is so that we can hear from him. I tell you, if it's been a while, do what I do. When you're desperate to hear from God, say, you know what? I'm not leaving this place until I hear from God. I'm not going to listen to anybody else until I've heard from God. Be very intentional about it. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What happens when a two-year-old does not get their way? What do? They throw themselves down on the ground. They take their fist and they hit the floor, and they take their feet and they kick it up and down, and they hit the floor and they use their voice and they scream at the top of their lungs, as if not receiving what they wanted at that point in time is the worst thing that has ever happened on planet Earth. Until they realize that if they stay where they are and they're not going to get what they want where they are, that they're going to lose relationship because things are continuing to move forward. And so I'm not the type of person that likes to reward temper tantrums. I like to reward faith. Okay? And so we've got to realize that getting mad at God is never going to work out well. Throwing a spiritual temper tantrum is not going to produce the righteousness of God, which sets us up to receive exponentially from God. What else does? Verse number 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. If I told you today that you were going to receive an entire moving truck filled with brand new, perfectly custom handcrafted furniture, everything that you need to supply your house, what if I told you that that was coming this afternoon? And you're not going to have to unload the truck. Let me just throw that in there. How many of you would say, well, I'm not ready to receive that, because I need to go home and I need to move out the old furniture. I need to take that out and I'm going to set it out by the road, and or I'm going to find somebody, I'm going to give it to, and I've got to clean my house. I don't want to bring all of that custom-made blessing into a filthy house. I want you to understand that that is the same mindset that we need to have with our spiritual lives, and say, you know what? There are some things that are not suitable for the blessing that God really wants to pour into my life. So I'm going to take that out of my life and out of my house, and I'm going to go and I'm going to throw it away. I'm not going to have all of this blessing stuff. We have a piece of custom handmade furniture in our home. It was made for us by our son and his wife, made to fit specifically in the area that we had in our home. It was made for that space. And you know what? Because of that, my wife is very protective of that piece of furniture. There's things that have been moved out of the way. There are things that are not allowed to go anywhere near that, because you're not going to damage the blessing of God. And it says, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Can I tell you I don't know if I can emphasize enough just how important it is that we receive the word that God has for us, the timely word in due season, the word of salvation, the word of holiness, the word of righteousness, the word that God has for us. If we will receive that, everything else is going to move, and we are going to see souls saved, including ours. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song.